This is the song that we have for the one, the only, the Chris Ailman, Chief Investment Officer at CalSTRS Investments, which is the second biggest public pension in the United States. I love the little bicycle bell at the end. Of course, we use that song because you ride your bike to work every day and listen to the show while you do that, which I absolutely love. You still riding your bike?
It's been a bit too cold and way too rainy. But yes, I ride it at lunch as often as I can, and I still listen to the show regularly.
All right. So talking about investments, because you do oversee more than $200 billion of assets for a number of different pensions, a number of different retired groups in California. Where are we right now? I mean, it seems like people are getting really pessimistic if you look at the bond market. But if you look at stocks, we just had an incredible first quarter. What do you make of this?
Well, and I've been very clear. I think people need to start taking their clue from the bond market. I don't think it should be as overly pessimistic as it is. And your listeners are educated. They get it. The yield curve is not inverted. Let's look at 2s to 30s. Don't bother me with 2s to 10s. The fact that the curve has a slump in the middle of it, that's too bad. But if the whole curve got inverted, then I would be worried. I think interest rates need to be more focused on the economy is okay. We just came off a very, very cold winter. People forget the cyclone bomb and all the crazy stuff that went on this last January and February. So the economy should be a little bit slow in the first quarter, as it has been for the last 3 years.
Well, the market seems to be discounting that the Fed's next move will be a rate cut. But if you're saying that you think the economy is generally in good shape, you don't see that?
I think the Fed should be and should constantly say they are data dependent. Not a headline, they have been for decades. But Jerome Powell's got to learn his own voice and the power of that he's had in moving that market. And he needs to be much more cautious. They need to be data dependent. The bond market is kind of anticipating an ease, which I think is a little overextending. I think they're getting too far ahead of themselves. They're over the handlebars in bike terms. So they need to really back up and look at data, look at where we are in the first quarter. The Fed may well end up tightening at the latter half of the year, but that's a long time from now.
All right, so let's talk about how that feeds into your investment thesis going forward. CalSTRS, the California State Teachers Retirement System, I believe broke even for the fiscal year 2018 to 2019. Is that correct?
We had a small loss, down 3%. On a calendar year, but I'm looking at fiscal years and I'm looking at a 30-year time period. So we're doing okay over 30 years.
So are you adjusting, though, anything in terms of allocations for 2019?
We've been very defensive at the start of even a year ago in July. We started to get too defensive, and obviously the markets rallied in August. But then we were positioned correctly when you look at December. Such is life as a long-term investor in the markets. It's a roller coaster, and you never know your exact position. But right now, we're pretty neutral. So I'm not extending long in many areas, and I'm also not being underweight in many areas. I'm a little cautious on equities, so we're right at the benchmark and a smidge under. And we're long, long maturity assets like real estate, private equity.
So it's sort of interesting that you said that that's where I was going to go. There was a J.P. Morgan survey recently talking about how they basically surveyed a bunch of institutional investors. One-third of them said they plan to increase their allocations to hedge funds up from a minuscule amount the prior year. Are you in that camp? Are you increasing allocations to hedge funds?
No. We don't consider hedge funds an asset class. We look at them as they are. They're 22 very disparate investment strategies. Keep in mind, to me, a hedge fund is a legal contract, a structure. The vehicle underneath it is what you care about, is what is their underlying strategy. And I think what they're saying is it's tough to be long an asset class right now, so they want to be in a trading type of vehicle that can be a bit more nimble and a bit more reactive to the world. Between Brexit, what's going on here in Washington, D.C., fast and slow economic numbers out of China, it's tough to figure out whether I should be in stocks, bonds, currencies, and where I should be in the world.
It's interesting. You talked about the volatility we've seen over the last 6 months. I mean, so if you're an equity investor looking at the S&P up 13% this year, you could say, boy, I'm done. Okay, I've had my performance. I'm going to go away. However, if you kind of look at it relative to what happened in December, we're just kind of getting back to almost where we were. So there's cases for the bulls and bears, but it sounds like you're a little bit more on the conservative side from an equities perspective.
Yeah, Paul, we're number one, we're investors, not traders. Yep. So I wish I could say I could get out of the market, but that is just never going to happen. We're going to be invested in stocks as long as they're public school teachers in California.
That's right, that need.
I try and say that to give people. We're talking generations that will be long the U.S. equity market. So from our perspective, it really has been a sideways market, and it's been a choppy one. So it's tough for even the momentum strategies to make money in this kind of a market since you're swinging up and down 8% sometimes in just a two-month period. We're going to be fairly flat to the U.S. equity market, right on our benchmark. We're a little bit underweight global equity because we're so worried about Brexit and questioning Japan. And then we're going to be looking around the world. Emerging markets is where the value is, but it's been so tough to go in, and it really is a question about your confidence in China and their economy. It looks like it's dialing back up and starting to grow, which is a good sign for the emerging markets. But even for a fund our size, it's tough to be long very far in the emerging markets.
You said earlier that you like real estate and private equity. Where in particular are you seeing opportunities in real estate?
Well, I like real estate because I think it's going to hold its values. I like occupied buildings that have solid lease and solid tenants because it gives us
very
good cash flow. we have owned some buildings where WeWork actually exists, but you want diversified tenant base. That's the key. And you look at Manhattan, the gateway cities, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, even Denver, Washington, D.C., have held in there in their value. And then obviously the Vills. People love to talk about Nashville.
The Vills. I've never heard of that before. I love it.
Talk to the real estate people. They've got acronyms for everything.
I'm sure.
But even Austin, those kind of markets are holding in there. And I'm not looking for a lot of capital appreciation, but what I'm looking for is steady cash flow. That's what we really get out of our real estate. So think about high-yielding dividend stocks, and there's the value. And also real estate's very static. It doesn't move in price every day like equities.
Interesting. So is there any part of the equity market that you're just – no interest in? That you're really underweight, that's noticeable for you? Or are you just, given your size, you're just kind of equal weight throughout the index?
Paul, we own the entire market as a solid source, largest to smallest. The one place that I don't have a lot of interest, and it's not that it's a bad segment, but it would be microcap. At my size, it is impractical to try and invest anything material in microcap that would matter to my fund and then also make enough money. It's too problematic. The area that I'm worried about in the equity markets is how extended the tech stocks are. There's a thing that I kind of believe in called earnings. I'm not sure people have heard of that, but net income.
Not the familiar. Lyft investors, obviously.
well, but we're back to that view is it's all about the growth. We'll pay whatever we have to get the growth.
Yep.
I mean, I've been complaining about Amazon since the 1980s.
Okay. How's that worked out? All right. Chris Ailman, Chief Investment Officer of California State Teachers Retirement System. $226 billion invested for the long term, we learned.